horse people, man. They're fucking unstable.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to our podcast, Stable But Unstable. I'm with Olivia.
Hello.
How are you, Olivia?
I'm good, and you?
I'm good. Today we are around a bottle of Sauvignon Blanc, sponsored by...
Caddy!
Caddy! A mother at the barn. Thank you. We're drinking your wine. Around the mic.
Yes!
In today's episode, we're going to talk about the shit we wish we knew before getting horse.
This is like the continuity
of the shit we wish we knew.
Subject. In general.
I was like,
the shit we wish we knew. Yes, there you go. Thank you.
Before we got a horse. Olivia, do you want to say the first thing that comes to your mind when you say something you wish you knew before you got a horse?
So I think the first thing that would come in mind, I don't know if it's should I wish I knew or should I wish I did, which is...
should you wish you did before you had a horse?
Yeah, like, or should, slash I knew, slash I did, is bring a professional with you to try.
To try the horse.
Yes. So get an extra opinion
than
yours. Because obviously you go and try a horse and they all look cute to you, but is he really...
That good. Yeah.
Is he really worth it?
Yeah.
You know?
And I'm going to add on to this and say, bring someone with you that actually knows what the fuck they're talking about.
Yeah. I'm not saying go with your sister.
No, but even still, because my first horse I bought with my coach that I had back then, and I was 14, and I bought this horse that I still have because I cannot for the life of me sell a horse, apparently. I get too attached. So I still have him. Been 8 years. I was 14 and we bought this horse that we were going to put in eventing that was 13 years old and had never jumped before. And for some reason, my coach was like, yeah, he's a great horse. Just buy him. He is a great horse. He's my most bomb-proof. I can put anybody on him. I've jumped on the trampoline while lunging him. I've drank and cantered in the field sitting on him. Like, he's great. But for what I wanted to do, he was not what I needed. And it was my coach, like a professional. And she said, yeah, buy him. And it ended up being the worst thing I've ever did for what I wanted to do back then.
Did you actually have like a wish list? Like of what you...
Of what I wanted?
Yeah, wanted slash needed. Because I feel like there's a big difference. A lot of my clients will say, I want a chestnut horse that is over 17 hands. Well, you are 5'1", my dear, and I'm not sure that's the ideal situation.
My wish list was he had to be a Palomino.
My first horse was actually a Palomino.
Me too. That's crazy. But like, Olivia, you don't understand how there was no way I was going to buy a horse that wasn't Palomino.
That's what I'm saying.
I was mad. It was by far the thing on my list that was the most important. But still, as a coach, she should have said, don't buy him. If she would have said, don't buy him, and I would have bought him, then it's not on her. But she did say, he's a good horse, buy him. Ended up being a shit show. I was not good at the time. I didn't have the skill to train him to jump.
Did she actually eventually say, maybe he's not suited for what we're trying to do?
Or I don't know. I was young. Maybe she told my mom. I don't think she... I don't know. We kind of put it... I don't know. It was never... Like, it's never been a... We didn't really actually talk about it. It was just like, okay, he was bad. We pulled it out of eventing and that was the end of that. It was never a fight. We never really went back on our decision because he was a great horse. He was great for my mom. He was great for me, but it's just jumping was not his thing. And then me as a 14-year-old trying to show this horse how to jump where I don't have the skill whatsoever to train a horse. And he's a very smart horse. And he was like, he was stopping at poles. Like he would refuse to poles because he knew I couldn't do anything.
Because he could.
Yeah. Then we would go to shows for some reason. I know that I actually forced on my coach. I'm like, I'm doing this show with this horse. And she was like, you shouldn't. And I was like, I'm going to. And then it was bad.
Yeah.
She did tell me. But at the same time, like, she shouldn't have said yes. She should have said no. Don't buy him. Like,
you will walk to that show if you want to go, but you're not coming in my trailer.
But I remember, like, specifically looking back then, the horses for sale were on Pony Express. I don't know if you know this website.
Yeah.
I would be on there every single day and I would skip every ad that the horse was not Palomino. And the amount of times that she sent me... There was... For some reason, there was a decent amount of horses that were Palomino back there. Yeah, but we had to drive for a while to get to there. But, you know, there was some out there. But she would send me horses that were, like, more suited for me and stuff. And I was like, I'm not getting a horse if it's not a Palomino.
That's actually funny because I feel... Haters gonna hate, but like, do you ever see a Palomino in a jumping ring?
Do you ever see a successful Palomino?
Well, I'm the Western, but like,
he's bred for Western, my horse. Yeah, actually, like the story is like
that's the behind the story.
That's the behind the scene. No, but he was like he used to be on Cavalia. Like, he was he didn't want to do the show. Like, he was too lazy on the lunch line. He wouldn't listen, blah, blah, blah. So then they sold it, and then he got like somebody broke him as a reining horse. Somebody bought him just to do trail rides, and then the lady bought him after to do dressage. Low level, just she was gaining her confidence back, so she got a horse that was really nice, and then we bought him. So we really had an easygoing life where, like,
yeah, I mean, his personality probably fitted like want to say beginner rider, but whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just the overall picture was maybe not what you needed back then. So that would be, I think, one of the things I wish I knew. You need a professional.
Yeah,
to give
a good professional.
Yes, to give an opinion and to really help you find a good horse that is suited for you. Because often, and especially now, you were talking about Pony Express, but now it's all through Facebook.
Yeah.
So you see a picture, you like what he looks like, you like whatever, but you didn't sit on the horse. You need more information.
Yeah.
And sometimes, as just a rider, you cannot have that information just by yourself.
You need
a professional opinion. So that's one thing. And then second thing is you need to know what you want.
Yeah.
Because most people, like I said, will come up with this crazy list of stupid things that do not matter. Mm-hmm. Who cares if your horse is chestnut or if he's bay?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, the color should be the last thing on your list. It shouldn't even be on your list.
Yeah.
I feel like that's I know if you're on Tinder, you like blonde guys, okay, you're looking through blonde guys,
but still, sometimes blonde guys are assholes. You gotta get over it.
Give a chance to the brunettes. Anyways.
Give a chance to I'm gonna stop there.
To the redheads and the other the other kids.
The other ones that are world. Not. Yeah.
Anyways. That's it. So I think you need to know what you want.
Yeah.
And then to be able to communicate that with an expert, professional. So that's first step.
Yeah.
And then I would let that professional do a bit of searching for you.
Yeah.
Because going through Facebook and whatever, Kijiji, I don't know where you're looking for your horse. Don't do it on Kijiji, but whatever. There is a lot of little subtleties that you might not understand.
Yeah.
So if the person says, not for a beginner rider, can be a little energetic, that's AKA...
The horse is fucking insane.
You need to lunge that horse every fucking day or it will throw you the fuck off. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you don't know that. You just think he's got energy and I'm an energetic person and I think we would be best friends.
Yeah. And the thing is, a rider, like, I think that people think they are better than they are. I think everybody in general.
The ones looking for horses think that they are better than they are. The ones not looking for horses know.
Yeah. You need to know what you want, but you need to know what you like, who you are, and what you can handle.
Yes,
that's a big thing too. If you've only ridden nice little school horses, then you get out there thinking that you're really good. You are really good when it's on a slow little school horse, but then when you get on something a little crazier and you've never had the experience, so you cannot buy something like that.
Yeah, I've actually had that experience with someone that came in. She used to ride with me years ago. She took I don't know if she took a break from riding or she just took a break from me. But I hadn't seen her in ages. And then she comes back and she says, look, I'm looking for a horse. This is my budget. Sorry, Mike. And it was a good, not Mike. Like
I was going to say, it's like, I actually hit the mic. That's
sorry. Right. Anyways. So, yeah.
Sorry about Mike.
No.
Fuck you, Mike.
Fuck you, Mike. Anyways. So, yeah, she was looking for a horse, but she had a good budget. And which it's good. I'm not saying it's not a good thing. But often what I was trying to explain to her is those horses that come with a bigger budget are usually not school horses. They're not horses that have been there and done that mm-hmm. and had 25 owners and they can take anyone.
Yeah, they can take your shit.
You know, they probably have a higher level of experience, mm-hmm. but they are more powerful. They are more, you know, exactly. hot-blooded. They might be a little more energetic or yeah.
a
whatever.
A horse that has done higher level stuff is definitely a horse that's going to be harder to ride, even though it's well trained. Like for a horse to be
good at something,
you need a
program, you know?
It's a powerful horse. Exactly. Yeah. It's a good horse. And you need to be able to ride it and to put the time into riding him every day.
Exactly. So that person, when I saw her budget, so I explained to her that part, but she said, well, let's give it a try, whatever. And then we went to try a horse that was straight up on her budget. And the person said, you know, he's very calm. He's a good horse, blah, blah, blah. But just the first trial, she fell. Mm. It was too much of a horse for her. So I said, look, you have a good budget. Let's try to find a horse that can do both. Maybe a school horse that is really good.
Good school horse. Yeah.
Like a school master.
Yeah.
And that's what she ended up getting. And oh my God, that's another fucking story. But anyways, you know, you need to know what you're looking for and what can fit with you. So once you have that, trials.
Yes.
Trials are important. Please. Do not miss that part. Do not buy a horse without trying it. No. Do not just look at videos and say, yeah, no. I love him. No. Go try a horse.
Mm-hmm.
More than one time.
If you can get him to your barn for a trial, that's even better.
Cha-ching.
You don't know if they got like drugged or whatever. And actually,
that is one very good underestimate. Thing.
People don't underestimate the crazy horse people.
They will drug.
People are nuts,
your
guys.
Horse. They will lunge
don't
him.
Don't trust everybody.
For hours.
They're going to trank him.
Yep.
But she comes to my next story. My horse. You know my horse. She's insane.
Mm-hmm.
She's fucking insane. It's the most.
You said my horse and then five of them came in my mind and you said she's crazy. Oh, okay. That one.
Okay, that one. No, but she's next level. And I don't say this because it's true. Like, she's just something else. And like, it's not a kick ride. You don't put spurs on. You don't put your whip on. You barely put leg on. You hang on for your life all the time. She's, I don't know what to say. She's really good at horseball. Well, thank God. She's so fast. And she's so energetic. But like, when it was my ex-boyfriend's horse at the time, when he bought her, I remember he brought it home and he said, like, she's really like a kick ride. Like, she's super slow. Like,
where did he buy her from?
A girl that was like, she was like buying horses straight from the track and reselling them.
So he didn't try.
He tried her over there.
Oh, okay.
But he tried it on that one day. It was like he left with the trailer, tried the horse, bring it. But he's going to kill me if I say this.
But he will say it anyways.
But I'll say anyways. He's not had the best luck at like choosing horses.
Mm-hmm.
He often doesn't choose the right horse. And then he wonders why there's so many issues after it. Hopefully you don't listen to this. But you know. And so he tried this horse and then he brought it home. And I remember he said, like, you're probably going to be able to use her on, like, if you want to give lessons, like, you can use her at a school horse. Like, she's a really kick ride. I don't think she's going to be good at horseball. Like, she's really slow and stuff.
Yeah.
That did not last.
24 hours?
24 hours. The next morning, the horse is in the stall. We cannot. I think it was like colder outside. They were trying to put a blanket on. Could not get the blanket on the horse. She was trying to kill them. And then we would walk in the barn and, like, you know, you pet all the horses. And then she would, like, come out and, like, attack you like a shark. And she has never been this quiet ever again.
Yeah.
She was definitely drugged. Like, there is no way. It was not just like, oh, I lunged a horse. Like, I've lunged her before and got on. She's not more calm.
No.
She was drugged.
Mm-hmm.
And this
that
is
happens
why
more than we think.
You,
it
yeah,
does.
You have to go more than once. And okay, maybe like if you go four
and
times.
And I think you see mistake number one was bringing a trailer there.
Yes.
Because that tells the seller that you are.
You're in a hurry or you really want to buy.
You're desperate.
Yeah.
You are there to buy.
Yeah.
So no matter what shit they feed you, you will probably swallow it.
Exactly.
But bitch, don't swallow.
Don't. Spit it out!
Think about it. Chew it for a while. Call them back.
Make them. And I know it's hard, especially when you like the horse, to be like, oh my God, like I love him. I'm going to be back next week. Like, but it's the same thing when, like, people tell you when you buy a car, like, don't get too excited. Be like, oh, I don't know, blah, blah, blah. And, like, you have to let them, like.
Oh, and you know what the number one sentence of a seller is? I have two other people coming to try today, and they're really interested.
Yes.
Yes. I hear this.
All the time.
Every single time. For some reason, each horse I've tried, the 20 horses, they all had two people waiting in line behind me.
Yeah.
That is not true.
No.
The horse has been posted on Facebook for 12 months. Don't tell me everybody wants it.
No, exactly. So don't be too afraid. Like, don't buy right away.
Try more than one trial.
Not everyone's going to want you to take their horse out on trial to your place.
And if they do, they'll ask you for a contract.
Yeah, which is
maybe a deposit, which is fine.
Yeah.
But if you cannot bring this horse and try it to your place, at least.
Go more than once. Take a lesson on them. Do other things. But like, just don't go once and bring it back home on the trailer.
No.
If you're really good, I mean, you do you, honey boo. Like, if you're going to reset after. But like, if it's like your first time or like, you know, you don't have that much experience, like, just go more than once. It's okay.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's definitely okay. And then, so now we've said bring a professional, know what you want and what you need, and also
what you can do.
Yes. And then trials. And then, and this is all before buying, right? So the other really important thing is get it checked by a vet.
Oh, God.
Thank you.
There is my coach again. God, I'm kidding. But I really, what my coach says.
He's growing on me. I don't even know him. I love him.
No, but the things that you should get. But first of all, a full vet check.
Yes.
Like flexions and
some
all that
people want to cheap out on that.
Don't cheap out
because,
on
I mean,
it is
a
expensive.
Couple of $100. But this but, is okay, what is going to save
not,
you.
It's not a couple $100. It's like what? Like,
two or three? With the x-rays and stuff, it might
Yeah,
come
don't
up
count
cheap.
The x-rays for now. But okay. Like, just a full-on, you know, it's.
But people
you're
are trying
about
to cheap
spend,
out
yeah.
on that. But that's what's going to cost you
oh
long
my
run
God, yes.
so much money.
Yes.
Get it checked.
Yes. And
head
the two,
to toe.
Yeah. And the two things that you should get x-rayed, whether the horse passes the flexions or not. If the horse doesn't pass the flexions.
Well,
then
already there, you got a red flag.
Then
a big one.
It's up to you to see if you want to take the x-rays and see what's going on or just
stop
call
the
it a
vet
day
check
and
right
stop
there.
It there. But even if he passes the x-rays, the flexion story, you should get the hocks x-rayed because 80% of horses have arthritis, whether it's a small amount or a big amount, and the navicular bone.
Oh, yeah.
I personally would get for sure the hocks. I don't know about the navicular. But those are the two most important things to get checked out when you buy a horse, especially because arthritis in the hocks is so common, and you want to know beforehand what's
Do
going on.
Do I need maintenance? Do
yes.
I not need maintenance? What am I dealing with?
Exactly.
And then you can take a decision based on that. And often, I don't know about your vets, but they'll call me and they'll say, so I found this. For me, it's, let's say, a yellow flag.
Yeah.
For these reasons. So from there, I can say, okay, well, this was meant to be a school horse, so I knew I would put maintenance on it, and it's fine. I'm not expecting it to do the Olympics. Mm-hmm. Or, no, this was my lifetime show horse.
Yeah, yeah.
I need no flags at all.
Yeah.
So, yeah, getting it checked by a vet, not a massage person, not your best friend,
mm-hmm.
not somebody who thinks they know.
Yeah,
a vet.
And
needs
I
to check that
I
horse.
Remember when I was on the search to buy my first horse, we had tried this horse out in the barn that was close to me, and We liked it and we tried it 2 times. For me, it wasn't like, oh my God, I fell in love, I want to buy it. But it was at first a horse for my entire family, for my mom and my sister. And my sister liked her, so whatever. We were giving her a chance. We did the x-ray and she passed the flexions. So she did pass the PPE, like the exam.
Yeah.
But we didn't get x-rayed. And I remember that one of my coach back when I rode at your place before you bought, like that was a long time ago, she saw that we commented on the post and whatever, and she DM'd me and she said, the horse you're looking at got into an accident years back, and apparently her back left knee is like, back left hock is like shattered. So she said, just be very careful. And then, so when we did, so when he passed the flexions and stuff, we already knew that. So then I said, well, can you x-ray the back left hock? And it was shattered.
Knowing the history is also a big plus.
It is a big plus. And like,
knowing
that was
who owned that horse, what did he do? What was he?
Yeah.
That's a big, big plus.
Yeah, yeah. It was stupid luck that she saw my comment. And I mean, meant to be. Like,
but good.
Yeah. She texted. And then, if we hadn't x-rayed, in a couple of weeks, months, the horse would have been like dead.
Because I feel like this is another part where people can kind of cheat a bit.
Yeah. You give a private cox a little the day before. You give a little
bit in the morning and then it doesn't show, but x-rays will not lie. Yeah.
That's why. So. Like, at least the hawks. I know that there's some people that have a lot of money. They literally x-ray everything. Good for you. Like, I've seen people have that much money.
I think that depends on your budget. If you're paying X amount for the horse, then it's worth it to have
and
it all x-rayed.
And especially, like what you said, depends on what the horse is meant to be. Like, if you want this horse to go to the Olympics, then yes, you have to know exactly what's going on everywhere so that you can maintain the horse to be good for the Olympics. But
so those are the steps to follow before even talking about the price, the money, whatever, you know, like this is what you need to, this is what needs to be done. And then moving on from there, this is where you have the space to maybe negotiate a bit because you got the x-rays back and you were asking, I don't know, 15,000, but he needs maintenance twice a year.
Yeah, well, he needs injections or...
Maybe we need to talk now. Yeah. You know, like this is where there's room for a bit of negotiation. I always go to see a horse with full asking price and this is what I intend to pay in my head. And I go from the vet check and then we see what can be done or what, if it's a fair amount you're asking for, then I'm more than willing to pay for it. So moving on from there, you bought your horse.
You bought your horse. So now it's really about the shit you wish you knew before you bought.
Yes.
The first thing in my head, we're going to say two things. We're going to talk about both. It's very time consuming. Even if you just own the horse and you don't even feed it. If you own it. And it's very expensive.
Yes. I see a lot of those comments on Facebook. I'm trying to buy my first horse. I'm trying to figure out the budget. How much is it?
Oh my.
Well, honey, it really depends on where you board it. Is it inside board or outside board? What are you doing with it? Does it need training? Does it not need training? Is it a lazy horse that can stay in the stall for 2 days and not buck you off later on? It's a case-by-case situation.
And what are you looking for? What are you buying?
Yes.
It's...
So really, at the end of the day, the budget can be, you know, from A to fucking Z. But I think you should plan the Z budget.
You need...
Go to the worst situation scenario. Yes. And then good for you if it's less.
And the thing is, people... But like they do their planning and their budget and stuff. They're going to put a certain amount of money aside for like vet emergencies. But you don't understand how much you need on the side for vet emergencies.
Yeah.
Because a vet costs so much money. And to think that your horse will never get injured...
That's just wishful thinking.
Yeah. You don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I've had like 5.5 for like not that long ago. I used to just have four horses. And at one point, they were all lame. But they were not at the same barn. They were two different barns. They were all lame on the front right for 4 different reasons. All at the same time.
Yeah. But you still pay board.
And I still pay board. And I still all do my shit. But like when people are like, oh my God, like you have four. Like if one gets injured, like you get all the other ones. And I'm like, yeah, joke's on me. Like they're all fucking lame. And then it's just crazy to think, even if your horse, and they were all different ages, different race, they all do different amount of work. So like they don't, and they will get injured. They will get different stuff.
And the injury, that's, I think that's where people maybe underestimate.
Horses are stupid.
Some of them will come back.
Some of them won't.
Equal or better. Some of them won't. And then what's your plan from there?
Yes.
What do you do? If it was a show horse and your show horse just got a life injury, he is no longer able to show.
Yeah, what do you do then?
Well, you know, you can't sell him because who are you going to sell that injured horse to? Are you retiring him? Well, if you are, you're still paying for it, right? So it's the a lifelong, a decision. Horse lifelong time commitment. Yeah. You can't just hope for
the best. You can try to give it away and stuff, but like you have to have a plan for every outcome that is going to happen. And for you to think that your horse will not get injured, like we're not saying that your horse is going to die. We're just saying he is going to get injured. You need to have some money put aside and you have to be ready to make decisions when like he gets
injured. Decisions need to be made.
And that's another point. You have to make a decision when your horse is not suitable for you anymore.
Yeah.
And that's what the big things I wish I knew before I bought a horse is that at one point you are going to outgrow your horse and you're going to have to be ready to sell him.
Yeah.
I'm not in that position because I'm lucky enough to have parents that support me. And actually, we found a way to keep the other horses. And like, I give sometimes lessons on them. They all play horseball with the kids. So like, they're not like sitting in the pasture. And I'm not, I don't also have to take care of like, you know, five, like ride all of them 5 days a week. But still, like, at one point, you are going to outgrow your horse. And then you're going to have to make the decision to sell him to someone that's going to be able to. He's going to be able to do the same job. Like if he maxed out at the meter, for example, you're jumping, don't try to bring your horse higher than that. He's going to be unhappy. You're going to be unhappy. It's not going to work out. And you have to sell that horse to someone that rides the lower level. And then your horse can bring that person up to the meter. And then
that person will sell it. Because often I see on contracts cannot be sold anymore.
Yeah.
I have a problem with that.
Yeah.
That little sentence. Look, if you're selling me that horse, why can I not sell it back? Because you don't trust me that I will find a good home for him? I mean, I understand when people say cannot be sold to slaughter. That's a total different.
Or like first right to buy. Like if you buy, this guy has the ex-owner.
That for me
makes sense. But to say that the horse cannot be sold.
Had a little encounter with our two last
selling thing.
Two last little shitheads we bought together. And the girl was saying, you know, you cannot sell them. So it's either it's you or no one. And you finally gave in to that. But for me, I was like, what do you mean?
Well, I mean, I gave
in. It wasn't a big price, so I didn't care. But yeah, like,
I gave in because like we're talking about our minis. So like, I mean, minis, we're going to figure it out. It's not like a horse, but like I did give in. I shouldn't have gave in. But yeah, if it was a horse and then the person would have told me like you're not allowed to sell it again. I just find it's sad because what if you sell it to someone? That you, for example, you sell your horse and you tell that person you're not allowed to sell it anymore. And then that person outgrows this horse and then decides to buy another one, but she's not allowed to sell yours. And then yours just end up, I don't know, being underfed or being in the paddock or not being taken care of because that person now puts her money in her show horse, but she has to keep your horse. When your horse could be with someone else, living a happy life and doing his work all over again and just bringing that person up to his max, and then he just starts again, and he's a schoolmaster, and then...
I would actually love, if we have a lawyer in our audience, I'm actually curious to know if that's even legally possible to restrain someone from selling something you bought. Like, if you bought my house, could I actually oblige you to never sell that house back again? Is that legally something that can be done? I'm not sure.
That's a good question.
I mean, for me, that part is a little... Anyways, there comes a contract when you buy a horse. And I think this.
Oh, important.
Mm-hmm. I forgot to mention this part. But
contract.
Oof. Whether boy, you sell or you buy. Did I learn from my mistakes? Contracts.
Contracts.
People.
Contracts. Contracts.
Yes. I mean, it takes a second, but sometimes I was lazy, but I cannot be lazy anymore because some people are just fucking insane. But yeah. Contract.
Yeah.
This person sold this horse to this person.
This amount of money.
And the vet checked this horse, and this is what has been said, and this is what you agree on buying, mm-hmm. and this is the date, and this is the amount.
And this is the signature, and this is the person that's looking at it.
And I am not getting back to you.
Yeah. Wait. Whether you're a seller or a buyer, you
yes,
want a contract.
Both. This is
you
a,
want a contract. Both this way. Is both. You want
yeah.
a contract.
You do. Because... too
horse
many times
people
that
are
I
unstable.
See, yeah,
they're
too
gonna
many
come back for you.
That I too many times that I see people coming back at each other because mm-hmm. sometimes stupid shit that you would not think, but people are
like, oh,
crazy.
This horse bucked me up. It's not on the contract. Like, oh my god.
Well, what have you been doing with it? You know, I'm thinking about one of our good friends, and well, the horse you sold me is not winning. What do you mean it's not winning? It was winning with me, but I'm not selling you a first prize. You need to win that first prize.
Yeah.
So if it's not winning with you, honey, don't come back at me.
Yeah.
Talk to your coach. Figure out a program. Yeah. Figure out what is wrong.
I just understood who you're talking about.
Yeah.
I'm like looking at Olivia like, what the fuck? And now I know.
You
yeah,
know?
That's fucking insane. Oh, my Lord.
For me, this is absolutely ridiculous.
I mean, we're talking complete lawsuit over someone that sold a horse and the horse is not winning anymore. It's in your contract, honey. It doesn't say your horse is going to win every time.
No. And, yeah, no, that's...
If you're a shit rider, that's your problem. God.
Yeah.
Now I'm pissed.
Those lawsuits, they just kind of...
Those lawsuits, eh?
Fly.
They fly left and right yeah. center. That's why you need insurance. We talked about this before. Oh! Are your horse insured? We're talking about, I don't have insurance on my horses, so maybe.
Not all of them. The ones that I pay good money for are insured.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Would you, like.
Recommend?
Yeah. I actually don't know about anything about horse insurance.
I mean, this is a personal opinion,
yeah.
right? If you're going to pay $5,000 and under.
And I don't think they even insure horses that are not worth a certain amount.
Oh, I don't know. But for me, that's not worth it to insure that horse because, and this is as real as it gets, but if you're going to cost me more than what I paid you, I need to be very emotionally into you to
yeah.
not have you put down if anything bad happens to you,
yeah.
you know? But for all the horses that are over that amount... I think it's important to insure them just because you never know. And it's you know, it's kind of a small amount per month if you think about it.
Yeah.
It adds up quickly if you
yeah,
look
yeah,
at the end
sure.
of the year. But when you get the vet bill, that adds up quickly too.
Oh.
So, bit. Yeah, I do recommend if your horse has a certain value, I definitely think you should have it insured. And it happened to one of... one person I know, his horse died of, I don't know what the word is in English, but it's botulism.
Botulism, I think.
That's what it is. Very nice.
Very nice.
And that's actually kind of a, not a disease, but yeah, a disease.
I guess, yeah.
So it's not really anything he could have prevented.
Yeah, yeah.
But it did happen and the horse did die of it. And it was a good amount. And they reimbursed him and he was
oh,
able
God.
To buy another horse with that.
Okay.
But had he not been insured, well, he was losing.
Yeah,
you're
yeah.
back to square one, you
yeah.
know? So whatever you invested in that horse,
yeah,
if he dies, great. Well, you have to start back to zero. Yeah.
yeah.
So that's.
That's interesting. That's one thing that I actually don't. Do with my horses. They're not much. They're not also not worth that much amount of money. But I think it's something you need to look into. Even if you decide not to, when you buy a horse, look at insurance.
Yeah, for sure.
And then see what you do from there.
Yeah, And then one thing that we did mention on the other podcast is if you have the option to buy or to lease. I would 100% recommend you lease a horse rather than buy. And these are the reasons why. First of all, this is not a lifetime commitment.
Mm-hmm.
You will have a contract. You will have, let's say, a year with this horse. Maybe you can keep on leasing him for years, and that's fine. But at the end of the day, all the big decisions do not come back to you. All the big bills do not come back to you.
Mm-hmm.
And when that horse turns 25 and he cannot jump anymore, it's or he cannot problem. Do whatever you're asking it to do anymore, well, he can still be your best friend and you can still feed him carrots, but he is not your burden.
Yeah.
So for me, leasing is the best option.
Yeah. And the thing is that, for example, we talked about like being ready to sell your horse earlier, which is very, very hard. It's for sure like when you lease a horse, then you end the lease for whatever reason. It is going to be hard to get away from that horse and then find another one. But I mean, that's what you need to do. And it kind of like, you know, when you sell a horse, you do have the choice to keep him or sell it.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people that bought some horses thinking that they were going to be, you know, their next partner for not the Olympics, but for life, and that they would always learn on that horse. And then they realize that at one point they become too good for that horse, but they choose the horse over their riding career. And then all of a sudden you're just a pleasure rider and you do mm-hmm. whatever, and it's okay. But like, if this is not your dream, you should totally lease. And every year, if you're still, you know, if your horse that you lease is still good for you for 3-4 years, then you can lease him for 3-4 years. And then when you get too good for it, then you just give it back to the owner and you lease another one. And by the time, and that's one thing too, I think that for teenagers and kids, you should totally lease.
Oh, yeah.
One, because you don't actually know what you want, even though you think you do. Been there, done that.
Mm-hmm.
And two, you are going to grow. And at one point, your like 11-hand pony is going to be too big. And there's a point in your life where you're going to grow so fast, you're probably going to change horse every year.
Yeah. But all of them will bring you to the next level.
To the next level.
So if you're an amateur rider and you're 40 and over, and you know you will not, you're not trying to go and show, you're just a pleasure rider, then that's where buying might be a good option for you. But all of the other options, leasing just gives you all this liberty to adapt, to change to your ride, and to evolve.
And it happens too when, for example, you just take riding lessons and then you really want to get a horse, and then you lease a horse for a year and you realize it's too much. It's too much commitment. It's too much money. It's too much everything. Then at the end of that year, you send the horse back. You go back to lessons, or you go back to just finding
another
sport. And
you call it a day.
And it's over.
You're not stuck. You're not losing money.
Yes.
It is what it is. And also, I find for the amount of money, because I think often people will say, well, this horse is up for lease, but
for the same price as the sale, so we should just buy.
It's so expensive or whatever. I get that.
Mm-hmm.
But if that horse is that expensive to lease, it's probably because he's worth it. And he will bring you to that upper level where you can lease another horse. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, because it's an ongoing thing where you just get better. The horse improves you as a rider. And if you don't want to stay at the same level, most of the time you need to change your ride.
Yep.
So, yeah.
And it's easier to do when it's a lease. So you don't, when you get to a certain level where you train your own horses and then you sell them and you kind of make money out of it, then it's okay. And then when you get to a certain level, when you're really good, then people are actually going to come to you with their horse for you to show their horse. And there's a lot of higher level like riders that don't even have a horse.
Yeah.
They get horses handed to them.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're talking really high level there.
Yeah. Now we're at another level. Yeah. But it's just to show you like wherever you want to go in life, you don't even need a horse.
No,
you don't even need to own a horse.
To own a horse. Yeah, I know what you mean.
I do get the hype. Like, I have a lot. You have horses. Like, everybody wants their own horse. But, like, start by half lease, full lease. Then when you decide that you're at the peak of your career Or if you decide that you exactly know what you want, you know what you don't want more, you don't want less, then yes, get the horse of your dream. But like, wait until you're good enough and that you have enough experience to know exactly what you want.
100%. And then that brings me to the other points.
The baby horses. Stuff. Oh, kids that want fools. I was that kid.
The no, not professional ones.
Yeah. Yeah. You want to know, actually.
I'm going to put the training and he's going to be my best friend and I'm going to show him everything.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
That was me. So remember when I said I only wanted a Palomino horse?
Mm-hmm.
We ended up going to Sherbrooke, like an hour and a half from my house,
mm-hmm.
to look at this 1.5-year-old Palomino horse.
Jesus Lord, who told you not to buy him?
My coach, actually. And then I wanted him. And I was ready to wait a year and a half. And then I was going to break the horse or pay someone to break the horse. I don't know what my plan was.
You don't even know at that point. It's just the cutest thing you've ever seen. And like, you want him to be your friend.
Yeah, that's like when you go to a store and you're like, oh my God, get me the puppy. Like, you don't know what you get yourself into. And the thing is that I found this notebook at home like not long ago that was like a notebook full of things I would show my horse.
Oh.
And, like, one of them was I would put my entire arm down his throat so that he's used to, like, the dentist.
Hmm,
and I would light. I would go next to him with lighters so that if the barn was to go on fire, he wouldn't be afraid of the fire.
Did you actually try one of those two things?
I hope not. But you should see the amount of shit I wrote in my notebook.
It's actually
that I was
cute,
like,
though, that you did take
it's
the
cute,
time
but
to.
It just shows how much I was not ready
yeah.
for a horse this young. And the thing is, they say the older the rider, the younger the horse, and the younger the rider, the older the horse.
Uh-huh.
It's not the opposite.
No.
It is not the opposite.
Oh, no. And I mean, it's a gamble. I don't think people mm-hmm. realize whatever you think that horse will become, it's got a mind of his own.
Yes.
You don't know. If he's going to like whatever discipline you're in, you don't know mm-hmm. if he's going to grow up. Like, I actually had one of my previous employees, she bought a foal and, you know, he was so young. But by the time he grew a couple of months old, we realized, oh, my God, like he's growing up and he's all crooked. And
mm-hmm.
and she had to sell or give him back. I don't know what she did with him. I can't remember. But it was like, oh, shit, you know, like he's not suitable. I think he couldn't even, maybe trails would be whatever he could do, but it's not at all what she wanted. So it's mm-hmm. a big, big gamble. And if you're going for those higher level horses or, you know, you're going for actual, how do you say, élevage?
Like a breeding.
Breeding program, like whatever higher breeding places. I mean, then that horse is going to have a bit of character.
Mm-hmm.
And no one under the age of, you know, you need to be experienced to deal with that.
Yeah, and the thing is that if you, like, don't do their training when they're young properly, then you're going to get problems for life. And people don't understand how important it is to be a good horse person when you get a foal so that you train him properly from mm-hmm. the start. And I remember, just like the place that we used to board at before, they have like foals every year.
Yeah.
And there was this foal with the mare. And it was the first time they did that, but they would let us play with the pony. Like the pony.
The foal.
It wasn't a pony at all. It came from a big horse. But the foal, it was like a Canadian horse, play with her like in the arena. And she was super good. But she ended up starting playing like a dog and she would jump on us.
Oh.
But this horse is going to end up being like a good 17-hand horse.
Mm-mm.
This is not going to work. So then all of a sudden, like the second they realized, they were like, okay, back to the start. Nobody touches her. She goes in the paddock and then they retrained her. But that's just one example of like, it's silly, but just like, you know, letting the, not even kids, but just letting the older riders play with the pony, the foal, and then it becomes like that. It's just like you have to be so on the ball with what you do with that foal for it to become a good horse. Doesn't matter if the parents are like great. Doesn't mm-hmm. mean your horse is going to be great. The training, you know, they're bred to be great, but the training is so important that like you really need to start it properly.
You know, my main horse is actually, he's 7 now, but when we bought him, he was 3 months old and I had no experience with foals. And I wish I knew a little more now looking back at it, but I did get myself surrounded by people that knew more about foals. So yeah. I did a lot of horsemanship with him from the minute I got him. So even like separating him from his mom. And then the next step was actually bringing him from wherever he was bred to my place. And when we arrived with our trailer, I remember the owner and whoever worked for him came out with like big gloves and he was like ready to like shove him in my trailer. And my coach, my horsemanship coach, was like, no. We've been working a couple of months now on this horse. He will get in that trailer because he trusts us, not because we actually forced him in.
Mm-hmm.
And those are all little steps that I think at the end of the
day. He did get in the trailer.
No problem. And exactly. Both of them with their gloves were like, what?
Just
like their jaw drops. They were like, that's the first time we actually see a foal get in the trailer. No problem.
Yeah, yeah.
And my trainer was like, well, maybe if you took the time to do it each time. But I do understand that is not their job.
Yeah,
their job is just to produce.
Mm-hmm.
But it does make a big difference. You need to surround yourself with people that know about foals. It's not the same training.
No.
It's not the same programs as a grown horse, you know?
Yeah, definitely not.
So, yeah, that's, again, surround yourself with professionals.
Mm-hmm. And the other point was, which comes with whether it's a lease or buying a horse, is that it's very time consuming.
Mm-hmm.
Very time consuming. And if you are, also now we're talking like people that want to ride and show and stuff like that. Not even at the higher level, just if you want to show and ride, then you're going to need to come and ride this horse often for him to be in shape enough for what you want to do.
You know what people often come up with?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to aff lease him.
Yeah.
Or I'm gonna co-own.
Oh,
this word actually co-owning. Brings the chills.
That's the worst.
Out of me. No co-owning, guys. Yeah. I don't care if this is your father, your sister, your brother, your half cousin, whatever. I have never heard one co-owning story.
That went well.
That went well.
None of them.
And half boarders. I mean, that's totally doable, but. Again, contracts and.
But don't buy a horse thinking that you're going to half lease him to cut on the price.
Like no.
If this is your thinking, just half lease another horse.
Exactly.
Don't come in thinking that you're going to half lease your horse right off the bat.
Again,
this is not good for you.
Think about the worst scenario. Think about what's going to cost you the most.
Because that half leaser can get out of your contract if your horse gets injured. She's not going to pay for this horse for life. It's not her horse. She's just half leasing him.
Yeah.
There's so many opportunities for you and like more pros than cons than half leasing.
Yeah.
That if you don't have the budget for a horse or you're already thinking about half leasing him to cover the cost, then just half lease a horse.
100%.
Yeah. But no, co-owning, I've also never heard a good story about co-owning.
It's like I'm actually trying to think.
Me too.
I mean, I've been in the horse industry forever.
Never.
Ever. Did I heard something, a co-owning story finish well?
Never.
So that's a big no.
Yeah, but it is time consuming. Even if you get a half lease, it's still time consuming. You're going to be at the barn a lot and... You know, if you work your 9 to 5, then you're going to ride this horse 5 days a week. Then either you go on your weekends or you go every day after work.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, it does cut out of your social life or just the rest of your life that it's not work.
Mm-hmm.
It's time consuming. You have to do it because you like it. It's not the same as just taking lessons on the school horse.
No, 100%.
Even if you're already half leasing a horse, honing a horse is not the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think we've summed up pretty well.
I think, yeah.
Whatever you needed to know before buying your first horse.
Or your second horse or your third horse.
Yeah, definitely. But if you guys have more to add, feel free to write to us and to...
Send us a DM.
Yeah.
An email. Leave us a review. Subscribe. You can even unsubscribe and then subscribe again. It fucks
can
up the
you
rankings.
Do that?
Apparently, yeah.
Ooh.
As soon as you subscribe again, don't just unsubscribe. That's just mean. Rude.
And then if you... Rude.
Rude.
And then if you really want to be...
Our friend.
Yeah, our friend. I was going to say my friend, but if you want to be our friend.
Come as a duo.
Can you leave a review somewhere? like 5 stars.
Yeah.
You know?
Sharing your story.
For all this free Leave information you've been.
Yeah, we're being good to you guys.
Yeah. Anyways, I'm just saying.
And you're just saying.
So on this, I will take my last sip. Here it is. And I will say the same thing I always say, which is stay unstable, my friends.
And see you next time.